Thanks for being here, as always, and thanks to my next guest, representing a regular segment here on the WGVU Morning Show, Sustainable Community Voices, guests in to talk about, well, sustainability and more. Today's topic, the energy policy scene in Michigan. Glad that you are here, Sarah Molkoff, Energy Program Director with the Michigan Environmental Council. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Shelley. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Is it froggy in Lansing?
No, it's nice and sunny here.
Oh, I think it's called the Grand River and more, so good that we can speak to you. First of all, I always like to ask, tell us about yourself and your role in the organization, if you would, Sarah.
Sure. So I'm the Energy Program Director at the Michigan Environmental Council. MEC is a statewide nonprofit of a coalition of about 70 environmental organizations leading political work around clean energy policies, natural resource protection, water protection, land use issues, and a handful of others. So we're a coalition of groups across the state. On the west side, one of our partner groups is the West Michigan Environmental Action Council. And so we work primarily in Lansing on state policy. And my work has been dedicated to renewables and energy efficiency.
Very much needed. So, the mission of your organization and some of the work that you have been doing. Let's spend some time here.
Sure. MEC's been around since 1980. So we try to represent the eyes, the ears, and the voice of the environmental community in Lansing. And so we're committed to partnering with member groups to promote public policies to ensure that Michiganders enjoy clear water, clean beaches, beautiful landscapes, and healthy communities. So we work statewide, but we ensure that public policies through the state legislature and the administration reflect our values of protecting the beautiful place that we live.
The historical details, you want to share any historical details about Michigan's energy policy? And I think that, yes, that expired at the end of 2015.
Yes. So back in 2008, we were deeply involved with the first energy package known as the Clean, Efficient, Renewable Energy Package, Public Act 295 of 2008, and that was a major package. But the two pieces that we were most involved in were ensuring that we established a renewable portfolio standard, which requires that 10% of our electricity portfolio comes from renewable sources by 2015, and additionally that we commit to an energy efficiency resource program so that annually we have to save 1% of savings committed towards energy efficiency each year. And both of those programs built up incrementally from 08 to 2015. And at the end of 2015, the program sunset. So we are still under the same law that requires that we do at least 10% renewables and 1% energy efficiency savings. At the end of last year, too, I'll note that there have been several efforts over the last couple of years, especially in 2015 and this year, to kind of do the next addition. What's the next phase of our energy bill? So towards the end of last year, some of the House leadership got pretty close to passing new bills out of the House Energy Committee. They did pass them out of the House Energy Committee, but they never made it to the House floor for a vote. So this year, throughout 2016, there's been a continued, real dedicated process from all sorts of stakeholders involved in this, trying to determine what's the next phase of this overhaul of the energy package.
Very thorough. Thank you for that. What's been the status of energy policy in Michigan since then?
Well, both of the programs I mentioned, the Renewable Energy Program and Energy Efficiency, have been strongly successful. For instance, renewable energy has provided numerous health benefits to Michigan residents, and also including over $3 billion in economic development, cleaner air, lower rates, and greater rate stability due to the long-term fixed costs. So we think those benefits are directly attributable to the renewable energy resources built because of this PA 295. And it was just a great start to build a competitive market for renewable energy and really spur some great business development in Michigan. Additionally, energy efficiency, per the law, since the law has been established, has proven to be the least cost method of meeting energy demand. And we've been able to reduce energy demand by about 1.3% per year. And since 2014, Michigan providers earned over $35 million in incentive payments for exceeding the standard. So this is one of those policies that ratepayers save more than $4 for every $1 invested in energy efficiency. And part of the reason why we want to continue the development of this really strong and successful program.
Talking about the program in Michigan, the energy policy scene in Michigan, with Energy Program Director of the Michigan Environmental Council, Sarah Mulcaugh, for our Sustainable Community Voices segment. I'm going to get more into Senate Bill 437 and 438. If you could provide the summary of the overall picture. And I think talking about the political process, too, might be enlightening for listeners. What do you think?
Yeah, I can include that as well. Well, some of the major pieces that where it stands so far is that Senate Bills 437 and 438 did pass out of the Senate floor last Thursday, the 10th. This was a long time in the works. There had been several attempts in the past, but this time the Senate, who passed these bills out of Senate Energy Policy Committee months ago after many hours and many months of public testimony and really hearing all the stakeholders, they brought this to a floor vote, and both 437 and 438 did pass. Some of the major accomplishments, in our view, per the renewable energy standard, is that it actually increased our RPS law. So the standard will rise to 15% by 2021, but additionally, there'll be an incremental increase to 12.5% by 2019. We thought it was really important that we're not relying on paper credits, that like renewable energy generated outside of the state, but that we're actually building more renewables in Michigan. So there's the incremental rise, and there's also a requirement that facilities contribute to local capacity requirements, and so that a certain amount of this has to be built in Michigan and contributes to our share of the grid. On energy efficiency, there's also been some improvements, too. The energy efficiency programs will continue at least through 2020. That is an improvement because previous versions of this, we saw it actually repealing, going away. And it'll actually increase incentives for utility providers, which exceed the reduction of more than 1% per year. And the third part that we're real interested in is around net metering and allowing customers that generate their own electricity off their roof or if their home or business, that they can actually continue in the net metering program through their utility, which they get a rebate on the bill, and the terms won't change for 10 years. But there is in this law a determination that the Public Service Commission will add an additional grid access charge. And so we're still a little concerned about how that gets calculated. So those are some of the big areas around the renewable part of the bill that's all included in 438. That's some of our highlights. Where we think things are heading next, this will have to go to the House floor and then to the governor's desk all by the end of this year. And so currently the legislature is on their hunting break, and then they go right into Thanksgiving break. They don't actually reconvene in Lansing until the week of November 28th. And so they could take it up as early as that last week of November, but more likely to be into the first couple weeks of December, in which the House will have to take up these bills, and then it could go on forward from there.
What happens next, Sarah?
Yeah, what happens next? I think the bills will continue on into the House floor. There's still some kind of behind-the-scenes work, which groups are trying to get some incremental improvements. There's still some areas that we would like to see some improvements around the grid access charge on net metering, and also ensuring that the energy efficiency programs need to be examined a little bit further. There's Yeah, so there's going to be some maybe additional amendments that get included as the House continues to take a deeper look at this. And this will likely be around the end of November, beginning of December. That's also the time they is known as lame duck, when there's kind of a flurry of legislation trying to pass all the way through before the end of the year. So the House has a real opportunity here in the remaining weeks of the year to pass this and get it to the governor's desk. And if they don't, these bills would essentially die at the end of the year. And they, if we want to do an overhaul the energy policy package again, that would have to be reintroduced with the new legislature in 2017. However, I'm pretty hopeful things are quite aligned. We've been working on this for quite a long time, that we can finish the deal and get a successful package that includes a lot of what our groups are asking for.
Yes. All right. Anything else you'd like to share, Sarah? And, of course, how to get in touch with you.
Sure. There's a lot more work to do. We appreciate everyone's input of what they'd like to see in the energy bills as well. We're still advocating for more sort of demand response technology to be included, use of advanced meter technology. There's some fine details. Happy to hear from you. If folks want to reach out, I can be contacted by my email. It's my first name, Sarah, at environmentalcouncil.org. And appreciate being on your show today.
Great. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Shelley.